Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a quick message today, but I believe it's a timely message and a powerful message. And my message is called Amazing Faith. Amazing Faith. And I want to start off and ask you a question this morning. Is Jesus amazed by your faith? Is Jesus amazed by your faith? Faith is an important dynamic in our relationship with Jesus. Amen? Faith is a very important dynamic in our relationship with Jesus. In fact, faith is the currency that moves the kingdom of God. And my question to you is this. Is Jesus amazed by your faith? See, there's moments when you have to stop and ask yourself certain questions regarding your relationship with Jesus. If faith is such an important dynamic, you have to ask yourself, what would Jesus, or how does Jesus feel about my measure of faith? How does Jesus feel about my measure of faith? Amen? And so today I want to share with you two accounts in the Bible where Jesus was amazed by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet come. In fact, Hebrews continues to say that it is impossible for us to please God without faith. 2 Corinthians says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And in the book of Matthew, we are reminded to have childlike faith. Faith is a very important dynamic in our relationship with Jesus. And my question to you is this, is Jesus amazed by your faith? Is Jesus amazed by your faith? So today I want to share with you two different accounts where Jesus was amazed by the measure of faith seen. Let's start off in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. Turn with me, if you will. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking him for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come underneath my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man who is under authority, with soldiers underneath me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one to come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said the following, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. And Jesus was amazed. Oh, here we have this centurion man, this employee of the Roman Empire, this authoritarian, this leader, this centurion who has soldiers underneath him, who works for the Roman Empire, this evil empire, this oppressive empire, who was raised in a pagan world, baptized in pagan practices and rituals. And this centurion man enters into a divine appointment and crosses paths with Jesus. This centurion man crosses paths with Christ in this divine appointment. And he asks Christ a request. He placed before Christ a request. First he says to Jesus, he says, Lord. He identifies Jesus as Lord. And then he places before Jesus this request. My servant is home, paralyzed and suffering. Jesus looks at him and asks him a question. He says, shall I heal him? Shall I come? And his response was striking to Jesus. this centurion who knows nothing of the law, nothing of holy matters. He is not a Jew. This centurion, this man who was raised in a pagan world, hands in pagan practices, who is foreign to anything holy, has the most striking response to Jesus. So much so that Jesus says, I have not seen in all of Israel such great faith. See, the centurion told Jesus, I am not worthy to have you come underneath my roof. See, the centurion may not have known exactly who Jesus was, but the centurion man knew exactly who he was. Right? And he says, I am not worthy to have you come underneath my roof. Just say the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. Isn't this an amazing account of faith? The most unlikely person, foreign to anything good and holy, has this fresh response in faith. And what's amazing is that the centurion wouldn't pass our eye test. If we had to ask, do you think that this gentleman, this centurion, this oppressive leader would have this fresh response to faith, you would say, no way. He doesn't pass the eye test. This man doesn't even know anything good or holy. How is he going to respond to Jesus with faith? And that's the puzzling thing about faith, is it not? That's the nature of faith. It boggles the mind and the eye. Isn't this an amazing account of faith? Let me share you another account of faith where Jesus was amazed at the measure of faith seen. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Jesus was amazed. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles that he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? Listen to the word of God. And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Verse 5, Jesus, could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few of the sick and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Oh, he was amazed at their lack of faith. We have two different accounts where Jesus was amazed at the faith that was being displayed. Both of these accounts are drastic in differences. But this is what's interesting to me, is that the people who knew Jesus the longest in all of the Word of God, no one knew Jesus longer than the folks from his own hometown. They spent many years in his presence, season after season. They were familiar with Jesus. They knew Jesus. The ones that were familiar with Jesus had the hardest time with faith. Yet the one who was foreign to the presence of holiness responded with fresh faith. And the difference that we have to note right away is that the saying is true. Familiarity does breed content. Even in the dynamic of faith. Amen? Oh, they spent year after year, season after season, they knew Jesus. And yet they had the hardest time displaying faith. In fact, Jesus stood back and he says, I'm amazed at the lack of their faith. Oh, there's a great drastic differences between these two. Let's look at this a little bit. You have Jesus returning to his hometown, Nazareth. Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was known for nothing. Nathanael, the disciple, says, has anything good come out of Nazareth? Has anything good come out of Nazareth? It was an ordinary, small group of people. Nothing extraordinary ever happened out of Nazareth. And here you have Jesus returning to his hometown with his disciples. And now he's seen as a rabbi because he has disciples and he's a teacher of the law. So they invite Jesus to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And as Jesus taught the word of God, they were amazed at his teachings. They were amazed at his power and his authority. They were amazed at the miracles that served witness to his teaching. They were amazed at his presence. But in a nanosecond, they went from being amazed to questioning the legitimacy of such things. In a nanosecond, they went from being amazed to questioning the legitimacy of such things. And the first difference between these two accounts that we have to take notice is that Jesus questioned the centurion, shall I come and heal him? But the ones that were familiar with Jesus questioned him. The one that was foreign was being asked a question, and he responded in faith. But the ones that were familiar with Jesus questioned him. And this is a very important distinction between these two accounts. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us want to be like the centurion, where we have this quick response, this fresh response to a divine appointment where Christ, all the Son, intersects our life. And here we are, we are face to face with Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. And we want to be like the centurion, where we respond with a great measure of faith. But I want to warn you today that for all of us that are familiar, all of us that have spent season after season, year after year, we may have the hardest time with faith. Why? Because we are familiar with his presence and we question him. Today, what I want you to do is I want you to ponder your heart. I want you to search your heart. And I want you to discover where you fall between these two accounts. Would you respond with fresh faith like the centurion? Or do you find yourself to be more like the Nazarene? Amen? Let's look at this. Let's look at this some more. Not only did they question Jesus' legitimacy for such things, not only did they struggle with faith, but this is where it gets really intense. Listen to the word of God. They were offended. Offended. Jesus taught and they were amazed. They'd seen and they knew about the miracles and they were amazed. They began to question him. And when they had the realization that Jesus was a healer, a teacher, a difference maker, they were offended. Why? Because they had this realization that Jesus had been with them in their ordinary lives. This difference maker has been with them in their ordinary lives. This miracle worker has been with them in their ordinary lives each and every day. And he never did anything. and they were offended. Think about how many tragedies this small group of people have experienced. Think about how many times that they could have used a miracle worker, how many times they could use a teacher that would show them a clear path, that would edify them, that would comfort them. How many times could they have used great instruction? How many times could the sick be touched? How many times could they have used Jesus' miracle powers, this difference maker? And he never did anything. Why? Why? Because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't his appointed time. Ladies and gentlemen, the faith that I'm talking about today is not the ordinary everyday faith. It's not the ordinary everyday faith. It's not an everyday occurrence that the centurion crosses paths with Christ. That was a divine appointment. And it's not an everyday occurrence that Jesus comes back to his hometown with his disciples, with the intention of doing great works. No, that was a divine appointment. A divine appointment. An appointed time. And what we as believers who are familiar with the presence of God, familiar with who he is, familiar with his teachings, have to understand is that you will go through many days of ordinary before you have an opportunity for a divine appointment for him to touch you in such a way that he changes your life, making it more extraordinary. You will go through many days of ordinary existence, but there is an appointed time when faith is going to be required from you to meet up with the one we call Christ so that he can touch your now to make your life more extraordinary. And because they experienced so many days of ordinary existence with Jesus, season after season, year after year, ordinary, 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 they could never see him doing anything extraordinary in their lives. And when they realized that Jesus was a difference maker, they were offended. It offended them. I want to ask you a question today. Are you offended? Are you offended? This is for those that are familiar with Jesus. This is for those that have gone through many seasons with Jesus. Are you offended? I live in the ordinary life. I live in this ordinary life. I live in this ordinary life, and I'm going through these ordinary things, these ordinary circumstances, these ordinary challenges, and I just need Jesus to touch me right now so that I can have a more extraordinary existence. But he hasn't, and he hasn't, and he hasn't, and he hasn't, and now I'm beginning to feel offended. Are you offended this morning? But here's Jesus. He returns back to his hometown. Because now is the time for the difference to be made. Now is the time. The opportunity in the time is now. And when that time came, they simply had no faith. The ones who knew Jesus the longest. You know what's so amazing about this? Is that in all of the Word of God, and I haven't done a study, but in all of the Word of God, I don't know if I've ever read, "He could not." Jesus could not. Jesus could not do any of the miracles. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, faith is the thing that moves the kingdom of God. And here's the thing. It was a matter of ethics and love. What do you mean? God won't break you to bless you. He won't break you to bless you. Why? Because it's the ethics of love. They simply could not, and he would not. God moves in concordance to the measure of your faith. And he will not break you to bless you. Now, for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are willing, those who are connected, there is a brokenness. But he won't break you to prove who he is. I mean, why didn't Jesus just all of a sudden woof, heal one of them? Then everyone in the room goes, whoa, right? We have a healing service right then and there. Benny Hinn. Hallelujah. Bring up the wheelchairs. Jesus healing people left and right. Why did he do it? Why did he not do it? You want to know why? Because it's a matter of love. It's the ethics of love. The kingdom of God moves in concordance to faith. Faith. And it was his intention to heal. It was his intention to touch. It was his intention to touch their now so that they may experience a more extraordinary life. But when that divine appointment came, because of all the ordinary, they simply lacked faith. Two drastic accounts where Jesus was amazed by faith. Which side do you lean more towards? What's the antidote to all of this? What is the antidote? It's simple. Don't become familiar. Become foreign. Don't become familiar with the presence of God where you think that you have it all figured out with the presence of God and the person who Jesus is. Don't become so familiar with the presence of God, but be foreign in the presence of God. See, there's an arrogance when you think that you have everything figured out about Jesus and everything figured out about the presence of God. But there's a humility when you're foreign and fresh to everything that you simply say, Jesus, you just speak it and it will be so. It's a childlike faith, right? Why they call it childlike faith? Because a child has not experienced a lot of seasons, and they'll take you at your word. Don't become familiar. Become foreign. It's amazing. John the Revelator in the book of Revelations gives this great imagery of four creatures that stand and sit before the throne of God. And as they gaze upon Jehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And as soon as they do so, crowns are casted down and knees are bent. And the whole kingdom of God thunders with this applause and this praise. And this happens all the time. You want to know why? Because any time that you step into the presence of God, there should be a freshness, a newness. It's not familiar. How many times we walk into the house of God and Jeremy's up here leading worship? Familiar. Familiar doesn't respond freshly to faith. Oh, God is so wondrous. He's so amazing. His word is so rich. You can read the same passage 100 times and get 100 different things out of it. Don't think that you're so familiar with the presence and person of who Jesus is. Amen? This happens in marriage, right? We become so familiar with our spouses that we overlook
all the great things that they do. We're just familiar. And what happens is because we exist in the ordinary with our spouses each and every day, we overlook all the good things that they do. And we only focus on the things that are not happening that would also make our lives more extraordinary if they were. If you find yourself discouraged, frustrated, offended at God, you know what you need to do? You need to fast. Fast. What? I'm mad because I'm not seeing what I want to see. And you're telling me to take a step back and fast? Yes. Why? Listen, if you will do a Daniel fast for 21 days and you come out of that, you will eat a slice of deep dish pizza and be like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this pizza. You will have a fresh understanding of how good God is. Oh, the Pepsi tastes so good. Oh, carbs. I needed carbs. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, his goodness is on display each and every day before you in such a magnificent way. In such a magnificent way. His providence, his protection, his prosperity is all over your life. And if you find yourself saturated with sadness and darkness and discouragement, take a step back and fast. And I promise you, you'll step out of that fast with a fresh awareness of how good God is. What happens is you take a step back and you become foreign again. It's amazing what familiarity will do. It breeds contempt. Amen? So the challenge is to become foreign and fresh in the presence of God. And I will promise you, when that divine appointment happens, that time set by the kingdom of God, for you to be touched in such a way that your ordinary shifts to a more extraordinary existence, I promise you, if you become foreign in his presence each and every day, fresh, you will have the faith to receive that which he has for you in that moment. Y'all get anything out of this today? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. I want to do this. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity. Thursday night, a 15-year-old little girl stepped forward and said, I need Jesus in my life. If that is you, I just simply want you to just slip your hand up really quick. I'm not going to embarrass you. But is there anyone in the house of God that wants to meet Christ for the first time? No? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. God, your word is rich. Your word is deep. Your word is amazing. Your presence is amazing. Father, I pray today that you will just touch and guide each and every individual. God, help us to ponder the word of God in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you help us to become foreign once again to your amazing presence. Help us not to assume that we have you all figured out, that we understand all the dynamics of how you calculate and how you move. God, let us be humble. Let us be willing. And give us the faith required so that we may receive all that you have for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net. Or visit us online at covenantcc.net.